Good morning, and welcome to Miami Town Church of Christ. My name is Dusty Delafield, and I'm the preaching minister here. Just in case you're receiving a link to this sermon from one of your friends or a family member or a neighbor, and you're wondering, who in the world is this guy? Because you haven't had the opportunity to come and join us for a Sunday morning service, so we haven't been properly introduced, so I wanted to introduce myself to you. We are in a good season here at our church, and I tell you what, everyone here, they were just super excited about inviting as many people as they could to our Easter celebration so we could celebrate together, so we could feel the energy together, so we could worship our risen Savior together, and that you can experience that with us, and we could all be together and experience that. But then the coronavirus happened, and so we are all staying in. We're all staying home. We're washing our hands. We pray that this video finds you healthy, and we are battling the coronavirus together, and we're doing it by staying in, by staying home. And so we don't have a service to invite people to, so we want to do the next best thing, and I'm encouraging all those people that were so excited about inviting people to our service to send a link to this sermon out to all of those people they wanted to invite. So if you're receiving a link to this sermon and it's the first time that you've had any connection with Miami Town Church of Christ, or it's been a while since you've had a connection to us, then know that you are on their heart, you are on their mind, and that they were wanting to invite you to our Easter service. So I want to take this opportunity to invite you to look around our website, www.miamitowncc.com. And look at the new core values we have, our new mission statement. We've been through a 3 or 4 year renewing journey together as a church. And that's what's brought us to this place where we're just very excited about what's happening. And it just feels like we're on the crest of a wave and we're excited about what's to come. And we want you to be a part of that with us. And so I want to invite you to look through our website. I want to invite you to continue to engage us in this manner until we get a chance to gather together. This is what we're going to do. We're going to have sermons. We are starting a brand new series today called Great Expectations. And so you can join us today and then just keep joining us every Sunday after. On our website below this rectangle, we've got all of our announcements. So go and read all about those things. And in those announcements, we've got some other opportunities of ways to connect. And so we want to encourage you to read through those things. So we want to encourage you to connect that way. That way, when all of this is said and done, when it's all over and we get a chance to meet together, then you can come and you can join us and you can celebrate and we can worship together that Sunday. And then you can come up to me after the service and you can introduce yourself to me, and I would love to meet you. So that's all that going on. I have two announcements. We have all the announcements below where this video is going to be, but I've got two announcements that I want to share with you verbally real quick before we continue on. One, and this goes out to the family here at Miami Town. I miss you guys. We miss each other, and this is tough, but we're going to get through it, and we miss each other. So we want to encourage you, the leadership, we've been meeting every week, and we want to encourage you to continue making those connections, to have a number of people inside our church that you want to connect with, a number of people that aren't part of this family that you want to reach out to, and set a number for yourself each week, whatever that number is for you, if it's 4 and 4, or 5 and 5, or 10 and 10, maybe you're ambitious, and reach out to that many church members, and they don't have to be the same people every week, but the same number, and that way there's some consistency there. And so we want to encourage you to continue doing that so we can stay connected, so we can keep encouraging each other, and we want to encourage you to do that. So that's one announcement. Two, and I want you to do this. We're going to follow instructions on this. And this is connected to that one where we miss each other, we miss being together. Easter Sunday is always such an exciting time to get together. Our Easter breakfast and gathering and worshiping together is just, it's a great time, and it's a time of joy. I want to ask you to take a picture of your family today, take a little selfie, Easter selfie with your family, and go to our Facebook page where this sermon link is, and under the comments, post your picture, your family picture, as a comment there. So everyone that goes there will know that they listened to at least this much of the video. And we'll know that we were here together and we did this and we're posting those pictures so we can feel like we're all together and we can see each other and hopefully bring some connectivity there. So those are my two announcements. All the rest of them are below the video here. Now, before we get started with the sermon, we thought it would be nice for you to see some familiar faces. So we've got some of our staff, some of our elders, and they are going to share with you what the resurrection means to them.
Good morning to everybody from Miami Town Church of Christ and everybody else that's watching on the internet. My name is David Herbert. I am the youth minister at Miami Town Church of Christ. And here I am on this beautiful Wednesday morning recording this. Out on my balcony, having a nice view of the trees and the grass behind me. And I was asked the question, what does the resurrection mean to me? Well, first and foremost, the resurrection to me means hope. Oh, you want more? Well, when Jesus died on the cross, he died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross and made that ultimate sacrifice for us so that we can have a relationship with God. But when he died, if he didn't come back, he would be like any other religious figure in any other religion there is. But the difference between them and Jesus is that he did come back. Jesus came back from the dead. Jesus rose again, and that gives us hope. That gives us hope for a future. That gives us hope that we will be able to live forever with Jesus Christ, have that relationship with God that only Jesus can give us. So that, to me, is what the resurrection means.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Chuck Beyer, and I'm an elder here at the Miami Town Church of Christ. At this time we're going through this crisis, I just want to say hello to everybody and hope you're doing well. Been asked to tell you what I think of what the Easter means to me, as I remember growing up. Of course, we all had the Easter baskets and eggs and chocolate. But I do remember that every year in my Easter basket, there was always a chocolate cross of some type to remind me of Christ and his love for us. And at the age of 9, I went through a class with the youth minister we had at the church. And on Easter Sunday, I was baptized. So it has a real meaning to me that of love and caring that Christ has given to me. And I also hope that you will use this time to remember that he loves you and he cares for you, and we can trust him in all that we do. And I think the thing that's outstanding to me at the Easter time here is that Jesus gave his life, but then he rose again so that we can have eternal life with him. So that's some of the things that Easter means to me. And I hope that you guys all enjoy your time together with each other as far apart as we have to stay. And don't get bored at home. Love yous all.
Hello, my name is Mike Ladd. I am finance controller at the Miami Town Church of Christ, and I'm going to share with you what the resurrection means to me. See, the resurrection is about life and light. Christ is both light and life. The world is given life by light, as we see in the natural surroundings. But on that particular day, a promise was fulfilled as Christ was risen. I can only imagine how dark it was were in the hearts of those who had been with him, who had served with him in ministry, and who had watched him die and be buried. But on that day, as the sun was coming up, Christ arose, where light and life once again became as one, and the promise was completed that he would die, be buried, and be resurrected on the third day to promise us salvation and eternity with him, where there is no more darkness, where there is only light, and there is only eternal life. Thank you.
Happy Resurrection Sunday, everyone. Hi, I'm Ryan Bornsugar, one of the elders here. at the Miamitown Church of Christ. When I think about what we're celebrating today, the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the one theme that stands out in my mind is death conquered. Each and every one of us has been going about our own individual lives here on this earth with our unique families, our unique friends, the skills and abilities, choices we make, opinions we have, and beliefs that we share. No matter who we are, no matter wherever we are, how young or old we are, the one thing that cannot be disputed, the one constant in all of this life, is that each and every one of us will face death. Quite frankly, right now, it's hard not to think about death with a pandemic in full swing the world over, news channels showing daily death totals with ever-increasing number, comparing countries and states against one another on leaderboards showcasing who was on top. Models and forecasts predicting potential deaths has brought out some of our worst fears as humans. Right now, we all share a heightened concern for those around us, our loved ones, those who we would do whatever we possibly could do to protect them. This has all been brought to the forefront of our consciousness, that each and every one of us will at some point face death. But, and this is where I get so excited about today, Resurrection Sunday, this day that we celebrate every year, just as the buds begin to form on the trees, just as the flowers sprout up and grow out of the ground, physical reminders that life does begin anew. God, our God, in human flesh, faced death. He faced it head on and conquered it, defeated death. When I think back over the many years, the celebrations we have had at Miamitown on Sunday morning, the songs that we sing praising our Lord, raising from the grave, that's the one thing I'm probably going to miss the most this year. Those songs celebrating death arrested that we all sing together. But while I might miss that, this year has brought a focus for me, probably more than ever, of that amazing power which Jesus demonstrated to us. If you think about it, if Jesus did not show victory over death, then what he proclaimed would have been a lie. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Indeed, he did. And because of that, we have a hope found in him that nothing else in this world can ever compare to. We have a joy. The death that we face as individuals is not an end. We have the knowledge of eternal life with him in heaven. Jesus, God the Son, in human form facing death, conquered it and rose again from the grave. It gives me an incredible hope. And that is what the resurrection means to me. Happy Resurrection Sunday.
Jesus was the promised Messiah, the foretold Savior, that he would rule over the chosen people with authority and with power, that he would restore the nation of Israel. But then, suspended from the cross, beaten and humiliated, alongside a busy road entering into the city, Jesus gave up his spirit and he breathed his last. Was he the promised Messiah, they must have thought? Were they mistaken? Did they miss something? They had such great expectations. But now what? Shock, confusion, most likely disappointment. But then Sunday morning, before the sun had even lit the day, and in the earliest hours of what could be called dawn, a group of women went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' lifeless body with oils and burial spices. When they arrived, the stone had been rolled away, and the tomb was empty. But then the question was, where was Jesus' body? Had someone stolen his body? And had the horrifying events of the weekend just gotten worse? John's gospel says that Mary Magdalene saw the stone had been rolled away. And so she runs off to tell Peter and John of the missing body. Now, I assume as we take into account the other stories of the other gospel accounts of the resurrection of Jesus, I assume she left before the angels appeared, because in her message to Peter and John, she says nothing about the angelic visitors. She says nothing about the information that Jesus had risen from the dead. And it seems like that's something you wouldn't leave out. And so putting all this together, we know that Mary was accompanied by other women, and that I just imagine that Mary left, and those other women were the ones that were visited by the angelic host there, by either a single angel or a couple of angels, and they bring messages to them. Do not be afraid. You come looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said he would. Come look at the empty tomb. Come and look and see where they laid him. Now, quickly, go and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. And so they ran to carry this message to the disciples. And then Peter and John, as they leave, Peter and John come running to the tomb because of Mary's alarm of Jesus' body missing. And they witness the empty tomb. And then they return to the other disciples. Now Mary returns to the tomb alone. And then she is visited by two angels herself. And then Jesus himself appears to her. At some point, Jesus appears to the other women as well, but that's tough to place in the timeline as far as when that happened. Well, after hearing of the empty tomb and the angelic vision from the women, and possibly Jesus' appearance to them, depending on where that happened, and having Peter and John return, having seen the empty tomb, but Peter and John had not yet seen the resurrected Christ, then we have two from the group that head back home to Emmaus, where their home was. Sometime later that day, Jesus appears to Peter, and then Jesus appears to the two that were on their way to Emmaus. Then he appears to the disciples without Thomas present. Then the two from Emmaus return, and Jesus then appears to all of them with Thomas present. And they were told that Jesus makes a third appearance to all of the disciples one morning as they are fishing. Then we are told that he appears to a group of more than 500 of his followers. He appears to his half-brother James. And he makes a special appearance to Saul, who many of us better know as Paul. In this Easter series called Great Expectations, We're going to talk about some of the possible expectations of those many witnesses that witnessed the resurrected Christ. And we're going to be talking about their expectations of how Jesus' arrest and him giving his life on the cross would have brought some disappointment to the expectations that they had. But how the resurrection then turned all that around, how God went about things in a way that they would have never imagined would have happened. But in doing so, he exceeded any of the expectations that they ever could have had. So today we're looking at Mary. In Mark's gospel, we are told that Mary Magdalene was the first person that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection. And so we're going to try and take these in order of appearance of those that Jesus appears to. And so we're told that Mary was the first one to see the resurrected Christ. In addition to what I just shared about the resurrection account, we know a few other simple details about Mary Magdalene. We know that Jesus freed her from demonic possession, that she had been possessed by seven demons, and Jesus drove these demons out of her. This is mentioned in Mark 16:9 and in Luke 8, verse 2. We know that Mary traveled with Jesus and his disciples, and that she helped to support them out of her own means. This is found in Luke chapter 8, verse 3. Both Matthew and Mark mention her by name as one of the women who are present at the crucifixion and also at the burial of Jesus. Though Mark's gospel mentions that Mary was the first one to see the resurrected Jesus, It is only in John's gospel where we read of Mary's intimate resurrection experience with Jesus. And so I'm going to read from John chapter 20, starting in verse 1. It says, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.'" Then we read that John and Peter run to the tomb, and we'll be talking about John and Peter a little more in a few weeks. But then after they run off, then we read this. In verse 11, we catch back up with Mary's story. "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell him where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher." She just heard her name. She heard Jesus say her name, and immediately it clicked, and she knew it was him. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me." I mean, you just imagine she's just clinging on to him. He says, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, 'I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. "I have seen the Lord," she told them, that he said these things to her. How exciting. How exciting to see the resurrected Christ and to be the first to witness the resurrected Jesus. In John's account, we see how close they were. We see how much Mary meant to Jesus. We see how much Jesus meant to Mary. Jesus came into Mary's life by freeing her from demonic possession. She was possessed by 7 demons. Now, we know from other demonic possessions that show up in Scripture that demons would hold their hosts bondage and that they would not easily release them. We know that demons would cause self-destructive tendencies, that those who were possessed would harm themselves. And often, those who were possessed were just totally out of control. For Mary, Jesus provided freedom and liberation. He provided safety and security. He provided sanity and protection. And his presence was probably a comfort to her that she would never have to face those demons again. Jesus didn't only provide freedom and liberation in that one event, but his continued presence probably gave her the assurance that she would continue to live free and liberated as long as he was there. Jesus didn't only provide safety and security that day when he drove the demons out, but his continued presence must have given her a confidence that she was going to have this ongoing safety and this ongoing security, that she would never have to face that nightmare again. Jesus didn't only deliver protection and sanity that day of their first encounter, but his presence most likely gave her that assurance, that confidence that she would retain her sanity. And that as long as he was there, she was under his watch. She was under his protection. Jesus' death would have been a shock to all of those that were close to him. None of them saw it coming. None of them understood the things that Jesus said. They understood it after. But when he gave his life on the cross, it rocked their world. There were so many expectations of Jesus as the Messiah that would have been now met with disappointment as Jesus was in the grave and confusion. What do you think Mary's expectations were? Maybe that Jesus would be around longer to be around to provide that freedom and that liberation, the safety and security, the sanity and protection, to be able to assure her by his presence that those would continue. Who would provide these things now that Jesus was gone? I mean, even with the resurrected Christ, at least she knew, you know, he wasn't dead, he was alive, but even after that, he ascended into heaven. And he was no longer physically on earth. So what would happen now? What would happen now? During my first mission trip down to Haiti, when I was getting used to the whole translation thing, I had taught some classes and then I got a chance to speak at one of their big celebrations. And they were just, and this courtyard was just filled with just Haitians everywhere. Now, while we were there, before we went to Haiti, I was scared of goats because goats just freaked me out. But when you go to Haiti, like the animals are just totally different there. It's just the dogs don't bark. The goats are just kind of, they just kind of keep themselves and they're just cute little pygmy goats. So I got over my fear of goats. And the cows just, they just hang out. Like there's no gates or fences or anything. They just don't move. And so while I was preaching at this big celebration, I heard this noise of what sounded like a wild pack of dogs. I mean, just loud, and it echoed throughout that area, and I was really concerned. I had not heard a single dog bark since we'd been in Haiti. And now I hear this, what sounds like a wild pack of dogs, and I'm wondering what's going to happen. And I keep preaching. And then I found out later that what I heard was not dogs. They were not dogs. And if we were here in a Sunday service, I would be able to point out different people that were there with me. And they would be able to vouch for me that sound, it was horrendous. It was loud and it echoed. And it really sounded like a wild pack of dogs. And I found out later that they were coming from a girl. Not a woman. Not a grown woman, but a girl. I think she was 12 years old. Who was demon possessed. And I was like, what? I'd never heard anything like that before in my life. And that was a whole different experience for me. Now, when we go down to Haiti, we stay in Solonique's house. And his house is built for guests. The upper level is for Solonique and his family. And the lower level is built for guests who come to serve in the mission. And so that particular night, they had requested that we stay in the downstairs quarters. And, I mean, that just made sense. Solonique wanted some time with his family. You know, we respect his privacy, whatnot. That didn't seem odd at all to me. But then I found out the next day the reason why they requested that. Because that little girl was upstairs in the kitchen, and they were casting the demons out of her while we were all downstairs. And we didn't hear anything like the sound we heard at the service, and this girl, her father was a witch doctor, and he had been praying against her, and this was something that they were used to, and demon possession is real, and down in Haiti, Satan is very active through voodoo practices, through witch doctors, and as a result, they see more of a front-on approach from the enemy. And though demons are real and they are alive in America, we see a much more subtle approach from Satan and his forces, a much more disguised. But the results are the same, really. Satan's activities takes away freedom, and he doesn't release those who are under his power very easily. His influence causes us to have self-destructive tendencies, and people will harm themselves when they're under his influence. The devil's sway leads people into lives that are just totally out of control. All of those are elements that we see in demonic possession in Scripture. Bondage, self-harm, and out-of-control lives. Think of some of Satan's activity that you have personally observed or maybe even experienced firsthand. And now we have personally encountered the oppression of his influence on us. The bondage of something as overt as an addiction of any sort, or as subtle as something like apathy or burnout. The self-harm that's seen plainly through something overt as someone cutting themselves, someone will cut themselves. Or maybe it's a subtle self-destruction, like a destructive self-image that we have privately. The wild and licentious living of an out-of-control lifestyle influenced by the devil's sway. Or something as subtle as out-of-control spending. So you don't need to be possessed by a demon to experience the same results from Satan's tactics. Hopefully, at this point, we can relate a little more to Mary Magdalene in this story. Jesus freed her from demons. Jesus protected her from self-harm. Jesus delivered her from living out of control. But what about now? What about now, after the resurrection, after Jesus' ascension into heaven? What was Mary to do? What are we to do? Jesus' death on the cross was for our sins. And his resurrection was to show us that he had the power over death. And I think a good number of people understand this about the cross, and they understand that about the empty grave. And I definitely want to encourage you to reflect on those things on this Resurrection Sunday. But in addition to giving us forgiveness and the hope of eternity, Jesus also promised that he would never leave us alone. After Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent down the promised Holy Spirit to live inside of his followers. We're told in Acts chapter 2 that those who repent and are baptized into Christ as a result of believing in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, they not only receive the gift or the forgiveness of their sins, but they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What was Mary to do now without Jesus physically here to assure her of her freedom and liberation, to assure her of her safety and security, to assure her of her sanity and protection? See, Jesus told them the night that he was arrested. In John chapter 14, we read about Jesus speaking very plainly about the Holy Spirit, the advocate. That he would send another advocate, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, who will come and live inside of Jesus' followers. And this advocate, the Holy Spirit, this comforter, will teach us, will remind us of Jesus' teachings. He will counsel us, and he will be for us our peace. Jesus says in John chapter 16, he says, "But very truly I tell you," this is in verse 7, he says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate cannot or will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." The crucifixion paid the price for our sins. The resurrection showed God's power and victory over death. And then following Jesus' ascension into heaven came the gift of the Holy Spirit, the advocate. But he could not be sent until Jesus did his part. Because the Holy Spirit is just that. The Holy Spirit is holy. The Holy Spirit is God. And there's no way that the Holy Spirit could come and live inside of us until we were made right with God. And that's not something that any of us could do on our own. See, Jesus had to set things straight. Jesus had to set things right. Jesus had to bring us into a right relationship with God. And the only way to do that was to pay the price for our sin and our guilt, so that we could ride in on his coattails of his righteousness. It was because of the crucifixion and the resurrection that a more powerful presence of God could come to earth. God living inside of his people, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is exciting stuff. Because when you think of all the influence that Satan has all around of us, all around us, all of his activity, the oppression, all that you experience, all the same type of things that Mary probably experienced when she was possessed by demons. The bondage, the self-harm, the living out of control. As we experience these same things, because Satan is active in our world and around us. But listen. Listen to what John says about the power of the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." And he is specifically talking about the Holy Spirit here. I think someone needed to hear this morning. I think all of us needed to hear that this morning. Let me read that again. "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Paul talks about the qualities of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Was it possible that Mary was afraid of what life would be like without Jesus physically here on earth? I believe that was very plausible. I believe she had grown to expect the protection and the stability that Jesus' presence had brought into her life. And after he wasn't here physically anymore, I believe that would have been very disappointing for someone like Mary, someone who had experienced the nightmares that she had experienced. Until that day at Pentecost, when the promised Holy Spirit entered into Jesus' followers and they were filled with the presence of God. That resurrection Sunday, years ago, when Mary heard Jesus say her name, and she recognized him immediately because of their relationship. Jesus was God who would come to earth, God with flesh. The Holy Spirit is God living inside of us. I can only imagine that Mary's familiarity with Jesus and how close they were, and that all he had to do was say her name as Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, and she knew immediately, is Jesus. I can only imagine what she felt on that day at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came to live inside of her, that she was like, I know this person. I know him. I recognize him living inside of me. There would have been a familiarity to her, to the Holy Spirit living inside of her. And everything that I'm talking about today, forgiveness of our sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, every one of you who are listening to me out there, this is available to every one of us. And both forgiveness of sins and the work of the Holy Spirit, they work hand in hand to provide for us the same things that God provided, or that Jesus provided for Mary when he released her from those demons. Freedom and liberation, safety and security, sanity and protection. Do you believe that Jesus was God's son? Do you believe that he died for your sins? Do you believe that by the power of God he rose from the dead? If so, have you turned to God? Have you felt bad about rebelling against his ways and giving in to the influence that Satan has had on you? Have you repented of your sin? And if so, then have you been baptized into Christ? Have you been immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit as a result of your decision to follow him? If so, let me remind you that you are free. You are liberated. You have safety and security in Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit inside you to remind you of that, to keep those protected for you, You have been set into a right mind. Now you have the mind of Christ, and he is with you and he will never leave you. You are under his protection night and day. If you haven't yet responded to God's offer, then I ask you this morning, do you want to? Do you have any questions about this? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he rose from the dead? Have you repented of your sins? Do you feel bad for rebelling against God's ways? Do you feel guilty for having given in to Satan's influences? Do you want freedom from that? Have you been baptized into Christ? You know, I want to invite you, if you have questions about this, about any of this, feel free to contact me. Once again, my name is Dusty Delafield. You can go to MiamiTownCC.com and go to the Contact Us page and send me an email if you have questions about this, if you want to talk more about this. And I tell you what, if I need to break some social distancing for a baptism, I promise you I will wash real good. And I won't be touching you for very long. But I would love to be able to share in that experience with you as a result of connecting with the resurrection of Christ. Great expectations. This is going to be a fun series. We're going to look at some of these other witnesses of the resurrected Christ in the weeks to come. I invite you to continue in this series with us and join us again next Sunday. Can I pray with you? Father, thank you so very much for your Son, Jesus. Thank you so very much for his sacrifice, for his death on the cross, for his resurrection from the cross, from the grave. Father, I pray that you would be with us as we take all of this in, as we think about Mary and all that she experienced because of your Son. And that all of that is available for us. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, that you have come to live inside of those who follow you, who are your children. And he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Father, help us to live with that power today. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.